Our text this afternoon is found in Proverbs 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. We have, don't we, dear friends, an instinctive desire to protect ourselves. We preserve ourselves. We do what we can to guard ourselves from that harm, from that injury that would grieve us and bring us pain and suffering. And so we avoid it. And we do what we can to prevent it. We have a natural self-interest, a desire for safety. Sadly, not everything that is dangerous in this world is well advertised, telling us at a great distance, well in advance, that there is danger ahead. There are many things that are extremely dangerous, but on the very surface of things seem very innocent and harmless. Such was the serpent as he makes his way into the garden, as he begins to speak and to speak to the self-interest for exaltation, greater wisdom. Does not God know that if you partake of this fruit, then you will be like him? He's jealous. He doesn't want you to experience what he has. Well, you and I know that that was all a trap. What is a trap? It is some kind of mechanism that is designed for harm, but looks on the outside perfectly innocent, if not appealing. That's a snare. It is a trap. Well, what this proverb is telling us is that, figuratively speaking, the fear of man brings this snare. It brings along this trap with it. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Let us look at first the snare in this proverb, and second, our safety. The snare and our safety. The snare, or that which brings along a snare with it, is the fear of man. The fear of man. Man or men, other people. Whether it's a strong man, or whether it is the great crowd, so that we in that crowd are insulated from harm, whatever it is, this fear of man, this regard for man, it seems to offer us safety and protection. If we simply connect ourselves to him, to her, or if we are insulated by the great group, well, so we'll be at peace and we shall see no harm. Well, it's not surprising that it is this way, that we should see that the fear of man, or it seems that the fear of man should bring us safety and so peace and happiness, so that we are not weeping and mourning at the loss of what is precious to us, because we see man. We don't see God. We have seen the results, the beneficial results of having the favor of men. David was promoted. He was promoted because he had the favor of a great man. He smiled upon him. Who is this young man? This young man who has brought down the great Goliath. And so David is exalted because of the favor of men. Daniel is shown great favor, and he is promoted because of great men who looked upon him. And so we see that. We can touch that. We can smell that. We can taste that. It's within the warp and woof of our everyday life. We see men, and that when we connect with them, we get certain benefits. We also see the wreckage of man's wrath. And that's especially what this proverb is speaking of when it talks about the fear of man. Men are capable of doing terrible things. Hazael, the general of Syria, he was told by the prophet that he was going to slash and slaughter the Israelites and even tear open the wombs of pregnant women. And he hears this prophecy and he says, what am I? Am I a dog that I should do these things? Before long, the butcher is doing just that. And you don't cross swords with Hazael. They can be dangerous. Fearsome. Israel trembled before Goliath. No one dared get on that field of battle. The very word that is used here for fear, literally, it means horror. It involves the idea of uncontrollable shaking or trembling. It's used in Genesis 27:33 when Esau comes in after Jacob had left, after Jacob had served him that delicious venison, and then comes in Esau. Esau begins to talk, and Isaac doesn't understand. And then we read, Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all of it, and I have blessed him. Eli, after the battle, is lost. He's wondering what happens to the ark of God, and he's sitting on a seat by the wayside watching, for we read his heart trembled for the ark of God. That's the idea. It's that panic, a trembling, a panic, a horror, depending on the circumstances. And here in this case, it's that ominous sense of doom and destruction. Because some powerful person or some powerful group of persons is against me. So it's so easy to fall into this trap because you see the danger. It's obvious. Yet, though it promises safety, and at the same time it fearfully threatens, it's actually destructive. It harms and kills. The fear of man, make no mistake, it brings a snare, a trap. It's not as it seems. Saul decided that he would give his daughter Michal to David, not because he truly loved David. Oh no. nor because he was genuinely interested in a good suitor for his daughter, Michal. Oh, no. Saul said, I will give him her that she may be a snare to him, that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. It's a trap. It's a lure. How do you catch fish? If you've fished before, how do you catch it? Well, you don't. You don't simply put the hook into the water without the bait. Remember Nehemiah. And he had enemies. If anyone had reason to be fearful of men, it would have been Nehemiah. He's all alone with a small group of people trying to rebuild the wall, and there is the combined wrath of Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian. But they finally build the wall, and so these three men hatch another plot, but it's a lot friendlier on the face of it. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, Nehemiah writes, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Let's just talk it out. Surely we can come up with some reasonable arrangement between us. It's a trap. It's not as it seems. And that's what the fear of man is. Friends, it is a trap. It's so easy to walk into it for the reasons that we've already discussed. It seems to offer us safety. And we're afraid. We're afraid of its threats. And we see the danger. And we anticipate it because of it. But it is not as it seems. It harms us in many ways, one of which is that it harms us by injecting the poison of needless anxiety. Injecting into our bloodstream the needless anxiety that comes to the fear of man. There's constant suspense. What happens? What happens if I tell my boss, I just can't do this? I won't do this. What's going to happen? What will my friends say if I speak out about what they're doing? And there's this constant anxiety, these cares, these worries. What if, what if, what if, what if? So the fear of man brings a snare even before the very jaws of the trap have sprung and closed. It's killing us that way. It's killing us through anxiety, constantly wondering, what about this? It harms us by breeding indecision in our lives. You know, we were made to make decisions and to be decisive. But worry that is bred by fear, an unrighteous, unwholesome fear, even a fear of men, it just locks us up into the inability to make decisions. Should I go with him? Should I go with that one over there? I'm just not sure. And that aggravates anxiety because there are so many different people that are calling for our allegiance. You know, that's one of the most insidious things about the fear of man. Is that what it essentially is calling upon us to do is to worship men like God. The problem is, there's so many men. And they have different feelings and opinions and ideas and directions. And they want you to line up behind them. The fear of man bringeth a snare. It's a trap. It harms us by degrading us and enslaving us. Bridges puts it so well when he says that the one who fears man is not the master of himself. You were made in the image of God. You were made free, with a free will, freely to please God and not to become anyone's slave. And yet the fear of man drags you down into a state of spiritual slavery. I was just obeying orders. Slavery. It happens in so many different ways, but if we fear God, we can stand with our head high. The fear of man brings a snare because it cruelly disappoints and betrays. Because men break trust. It is also powerless to make good on its promises and threats. Men and the fear of man can only give you good things as God allows that to happen. And they can only harm you as God permits that to happen. And God overrides and overrules everything according to his purpose. Think about Rabshakeh. He's shouting to all the people of Jerusalem. There they are, sitting on the top of the wall. And he's not speaking in the Syrian tongue. No, no, he's not going to do that. I'm speaking in the Hebrew tongue. Because I want all you people to tremble in your boots. To realize that the massive force that has come here from King Sennacherib is going to bring you to your knees. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can surrender. Don't let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Make an agreement with me by a present and come out to me. Then eat ye every man of his own vine and every one of his own fig tree and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern. But if you choose to put up a resistance, know that none of the other cities, none of the other kingdoms, and none of their gods were able to stand before the king of Assyria. Did they besiege Jerusalem? No. There was a rumor. There was a battle somewhere else. They had to leave. The fear of man can make its promises and make its threats, but it cannot make good on any of them unless God allows it to happen. So fear not him who is able to destroy the body. And after that, he has nothing more that he can do. But I will tell you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has destroyed your body, is able to cast both body and soul in hell. Oh, you see, it's such a snare, such a trap. Don't walk into it. And if you're in it, get out of it as quickly as you can. And if you can't get out, then cry to the Lord for help. Because he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. But it gets worse. The fear of man brings a snare because it entraps men into sinning against God. The fear of man bringeth a snare. It seizes us and it draws us into disobedience against God. It entraps men in cowardice, a drawing back from the path of duty. It entraps us into compromise, doing things that we know is wrong, or neglecting to do things that we know is right. It trapped Father Abraham. One has said the father of the faithful twice denied his wife. It trapped Moses, who hedged and tried to get out of his call. Lord, I can't speak. It trapped Saul, who said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. It trapped Peter, who trembled like a leaf before a young girl and denied his Lord three times. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And it trapped the poor heathen Gentile governor Pontius Pilate, who knew that this was a righteous man, but he was afraid of what the Jews would say to his superiors. If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. It entraps us in pride, in arrogance, challenging the truth of God. It traps us in idolatry, giving the honor and glory that is due to God to a mere creature. You know, Aaron first idolized the people before he made the idol of a calf. He was afraid of them. But he had already committed idolatry the moment that he gave in to the pressure. And so bringing him into sin, oh friends, that is the great trap. The great trap is that it draws you into sinning against God. Beware, beware of the fear of man. Think of it like this. Be horrified at the horror. Fear the fear. And at the end, the fear of man brings a snare in that it betrays men into the hands of the Lord. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. However painful these things are for us to hear, and I can assure you it is for me, we must realize that this is a snare. That if we give way to it, it will ruin us. And it will ruin you. But there is safety. There is safety out there. And that safety is putting our trust in the Lord. Now, this is not what it seems. It doesn't seem to afford any safety because, unlike men, we can't see God. There's no hard data, or so it seems. There's no poll that gives us the actual results of what the opinion of the people is at this particular time. And so this refuge in the Lord seems to afford no safety. Certainly that was the argument of Rabshakeh. Where is the God of Hezekiah? But in fact, it offers us the greatest safety that there can be. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. This offers the greatest safety. It relieves us from all needless anxiety. It just frees us. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Just throw them down at His feet. The only reason we need to worry is because we just won't let it go. But we've got to let it go. We've got to hand it over to God, however fearsome it seems, however fearsome they seem. It breeds fearlessness. The wicked flee when none pursue, but the righteous are bold as a lion. It frees from bondage and lifts us up. When we put our trust in the Lord, we are free from the lordship and the tyranny of men. And we walk as princes and princesses. Trusting in the Lord never disappoints. Never. Never. Now you're going to have to wait. Oftentimes. But wait and it will come to pass. Trusting in the Lord has all power to make good on all God's promises and threats. It entraps no man. The name of the Lord, it's not a trap. It's not too good to be true. It does not trap, but it prevents you from sinning and so making God your enemy. The trust of the Lord emboldens us for duty and fans the flames of courage. Like David and Daniel and Deborah and Jael and Esther. And it puts us and all that we care about safely into God's almighty hands. I know whom I have believed, and I am sure. I am convinced that He is able to keep that which I have entrusted to Him against that day. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Notice the breadth of this promise. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord. It doesn't say the super Christian who puts his trust in the Lord. It doesn't say the adult who puts his trust in the Lord. It doesn't say the person who has kept him or herself from gross sins all their life, they're qualified to put their trust in the Lord and be saved. It doesn't say that. It simply says, whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So put your trust in the Lord and be safe. And do not fear the face of man. Free yourself. Free yourself from this trap. Why will you fear man? Who made him? He did not make himself. It was the very hand of God. Why will you fear man? What is man after all? He is dust and ashes. His breath departs. To his earth he turns. That day his thoughts depart. Why will you fear man? Are you happier by fearing man? Are you your own master by fearing the faces of men? Are you able freely to serve the great God by fearing man? Or does it not draw you into being a disloyal, time-serving betrayer? Will you make men your God and rebel against the Sovereign One? Why will you fear man? And be assured he is a cruel Lord, David said, when he was given the options of punishment by the hand of God. I am in a great strait. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. Why will you not trust the Lord? Who is more trustworthy? Who is more faithful? Who is more reliable? Who is the most benevolent, the kind one? Who is safer, more mild, more kind, more humane? Oh, trust the Lord. Trust him. Trust him. And you shall have no reason to fear. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Amen. Let us stand. O Lord, we acknowledge our offense in these things, but rejoice that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Grant us to fear no man, O God, but to fear thee alone, and to walk on the safe path to heaven. Give us strength and keep us from falling. We pray this through the Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Let us close by singing from Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 5, to the tune Arnold, tune number 28. Psalm 27, 1 to 5, to the tune Arnold, tune number 28. The Lord's my light and saving health, who shall make me dismayed? My life strength is the Lord, of whom then shall I be afraid? Verses 1 through 5.
secret of his tent me hide, and on a rock me raise.
Please rise to receive the benediction. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.